This is David Williams from the Whitley's Oral History Group talking to Mrs. Hilary Bowen about her memories of Great Whitley. It's Friday, the 12th of May, 2017.
My first recollections of Great Whitley were in 1958. I was actually married in Great Whitley in 1960. I came here to work as a poultry farm, Hillhampton Farm, having seen an advertisement in the local newspaper. I always looked in the farming column because there were always lots of advertisements for farm workers. And although I worked at a wages office in Stourport, working out income tax, my leaning was always for the outdoors. So I spotted this advertisement in the Stourport News for wanting somebody to assist on a poultry farm in Great Whitley. So I got on my bicycle, came out and saw the farmer, Herbert Cotton, who immediately said he would take me on. So I was very happy to do that, collecting eggs. He actually hatched the eggs. He had a big hatchery. So I was involved in that and these chicks, all these thousands of chicks he hatched every week. Now, working on that farm, having just come out of the army, was Douglas Bowen, who came chatting in a very friendly way. The first thing he ever said to me was, "Why are you throwing those electric light bulbs away?" And I said, "Because they've had it." Oh, he said, "If you take them to the power station, they'll swap them for some new ones." I went away thinking, good heavens above, what a strange man. But he gave me a lift to the bus stop that night. And that was the start of our relationship. And we married in 1960. Actually, I think that was probably before 1958. I think we were courting for at least 3 years or more. So it was probably 1957. Whitley, of course, was very different then, as all villages were. Very few houses. Most of the people living here were involved in some way in agriculture. You would see farmers going off on bicycles in the morning. And of course, because surrounding villages were the same, there wasn't the commuter traffic. Their communities were rural as well. There were a lot more farm workers in those days. So you would see farm workers going off to work in the morning to the fields. Now, the crops, of course, were very different in those days too. Thousands of acres of sugar beet was grown around Great Whitley, mainly because we had the sugar beet factory so close, only about 6 or 7 miles away at Foley Park, Kidderminster. So during the winter, you would see lorries trundling up and down the roads with great loads of muddy sugar beet on. And it was something that was widely grown around here. Now, I became quite involved in the sugar beet growing because my husband then, in 1960, as I say, we were married, had bought a lorry to do haulage. And he used to haul sugar beet for the farmers in Great Whitley to the sugar beet factory. By then, I had left the poultry farm to help him, and I was quite involved in this sugar beet growing because it was very convenient for me to walk off from where I lived to the sugar beet fields to work in the sugar beet, which was singled by hand with hose. And there would be a gang of us, about six at least, with a hoe, they were called beech hoes, and go up and down the rows, vast fields. It would take weeks to get through it and single the plants out so that they were about 8 inches apart or so. And that was quite a grueling job, really, but quite enjoyable, unless, of course, it was raining. Then, of course, when the harvesting of the sugar beet came, there was a huge amount of work then because it was all hand labour. A machine would probably come along if the ground was a bit hard and lift the sugar beet a bit with a tool with sort of ridges on it, and it would just lift it up. But you actually pulled it out of the ground yourself, and you banged the sugar beet together so that the soil would drop off, and then you laid it out in rows. And then after a while, you would go along with this big beet knife and chop the top off and throw it into a pile. That was quite hard work, using this great big chopping knife. I wonder if they would allow that today with health and safety. However, in all the years I did it, I don't ever remember cutting my finger or hand, thankfully. But of course, you got quite skilled at it. So then, having chopped the top off, you would throw it into a pile. The tractor and trailer would come along and the beet would be loaded onto the trailer by hand with what we called a scovin. Now, I've tried to do some research to find out if that is the real word for it. It was like a big fork. Welded on the end were some sort of knobs so that when you shoveled the sugar beet, it didn't actually stab it. It didn't stick into it. You were able to pick the beet up smoothly. I've still got a scovin that I use here today quite frequently for all kinds of jobs. Then the sugar beet, of course, would go to the farm where it was tipped up in the yard. Then another hand process, it would be thrown onto the lorry by hand. In later years, the farm where my husband moved a lot of sugar beet was the Hill House Farm, and they bought an elevator, which was great news because we just shoveled the beet into the big hopper at the bottom of the elevator and it took it up onto the lorry. Doug and I would go off then with a load of beet to the sugar factory, and there would be probably a great big long queue because a sample had to be taken out of every lorry to make sure you hadn't loaded mud and camouflaged it with beet. Or also, of course, they needed a sample to check the sugar content. Now, if there was a great big long queue, you didn't have to wait in it. You could go to one of the big silos and unload it by hand. And because we probably wanted to get back to do more loads, we usually used to unload it by hand to save time. Because permits were allocated for taking your beet to the factory, and you had to use those permits within a certain time. So it was always important to make sure you use these permits, else they would be wasted. And it was quite an anxious time making sure you got the farmer's sugar beet to the sugar factory before the end of the campaign, as they called it, because the sugar beet factory would close at the end of January or the very beginning of February. So you did have a limited time. We also brought sugar beet down from Westridge Farm at Hightington. So coming down the steep hill with a load of sugar beet down Hurtle Hill was quite adventurous because, of course, the brakes weren't so good on lorries in those days. However, I'm sure it kept us all on our toes and kept us all fit. And we were then thinking about the next job. It was rather sad when the sugar beet started to disappear from the fields around here because the sugar beet factory at Kidderminster was closed. The sugar beet could still be taken to another factory at Allscott in Shropshire, but that was quite a long journey. Some of the farmers did make the journey for some time, but gradually it dwindled, and of course now, sadly, we don't see any sugar beet. Of course, that was replaced by other crops. Quite a lot of potatoes, of course, are now grown in this area. That was a very different job in those days. A lot of handwork, of course, as always. They were planted by hand. You sat on a potato planter, which was attached to the back of a tractor, of course. And then as it slowly went along the field, you would drop the potatoes down a spout and they dropped into the ground. Two would sit on the back of the planter. Certainly only two sat on the planter that I used to help with at home farm. And it was a very cold job. It always seemed to be around Easter time. I can remember sitting on the back of the planter with hail battering me and keeping my head down to try to avoid the hailstones. And in fact, the old farmer who was the other hand on the planter one day actually became hypothermic, and we had to take him back to the farm and get him by the aga and warm him up. It was a very cold, long, painstaking job. There was quite a bit of handwork in the potatoes too, because sometimes they would be hoed by hand. Not a lot of weeds seemed to grow in the potatoes really, but the ones that did needed knocking out. So they were planted on ridges, so you would go along just knocking the ridge down and the weeds with them. And then afterwards, the farmer would go along with a ridger and the potatoes would be there in the ridges so that they wouldn't go green. Now, the harvesting of the potatoes was an enormous job, really, because they would be dug with an old sort of old-fashioned type of machine, although later on they did improve on the machine so that the potatoes were dropped in a row ready to be picked up. But originally they were dug out by what they called a spinner, and that went along spinning out the potatoes, and it really did spin them out. It flung them all over the place. So when you were picking them up in a bucket, you were dodging here, there and everywhere. It didn't make a very good job, but thankfully they did improve on the potato diggers, and there was the elevator digger which did drop them more in a row. Gangs of people used to come along and we used to pick them up and put them into Hessian sacks. And then a tractor and trailer would come along, and again, it was all lifted up, all handwork, these big sacks of potatoes put onto the trailers and then taken up to the farm buildings to be emptied. And then the empty sacks were brought back all ready for us to fill. It was quite nice if the weather was nice. We'd all sit on our